You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, this is Rhett Palmer, and today we're going to be talking with the author of Beyond the Hidden Veil of Shame. Her name is Kay Hall. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Good, good, good. Now, you've just gotten off the set. They just finished the motion picture on your book. And, of course, this is a very touchy subject today. One woman's post-abortion journey for a settled and peaceful heart. So were you an author prior to this book, or is this your first venture into writing?
This is my very first venture into a book. I've written workshops and, you know, short little snippets, but this is the first of a book.
What made you decide to come, you know, to be so open about such a personal subject that, of course, has caused a lot of women a lot of shame later on in life?
So I was attending a workshop or a retreat, a woman's retreat, and that gave me this most beautiful vision of what my life looked like up to that point. And it was pretty bad. It was a playground, and the playground was, the toys were all broken down, the fencing was all broken down, the grass was all dirt and yucky, and there was no sunlight, no children playing. And I went, wow, that's pretty bad. That looks pretty bad, God. What do you want me to do? And at that point, I realized what he was referring to, and it was a life that I had been leading for quite some time without him. And so I just went to my knees and said, I need your forgiveness for messing up a beautiful life. And from that point on, I started getting into my Bible, and I started attending a church, and I started surrounding myself with people who were influential in my life. And then he showed me that playground again, and it was the toys were healing, and the, you know, as representation of my wounds, and the grass was growing, and the fence was back up again. And so I went, okay, I get it. You know, you ask for forgiveness, he gives you forgiveness, and this is what can be created. And he really pointed out that abortion is what I needed to focus on. I needed to move from that point. And so I just started working towards that. I realized the forgiveness I needed. He gave me the grace that I needed, and the redemption followed. It was an incredible story. And so I started to write it down, and it became a book. And I realized there was 900,000 women a year that needed this same message, and I said yes to his call. And all I want to do is get out there and let women know that you can be at the darkest point of your life, and God will restore you.
Well, you said 900,000 women a year?
Yep.
Was that literal?
I'm sorry, what?
Was that literal?
Yes, yes, it is. That's the statistics for abortion.
There's 900,000 performed every year?
Yes.
In America or throughout the world?
In the world.
Wow. That's a lot of women.
It's staggering. It is a lot of women, and that means there's a lot of women who need to hear this message.
Well, some people, of course, probably don't feel the guilt. I mean, if you haven't got the Spirit of God in you, I know as a boy in my teens back in the 60s, where there was promiscuity, and, you know, being of the Woodstock generation, I actually attended Woodstock, I would, if my girlfriend had said she was getting an abortion, I would have thought, well, that's your business, until at the age of 29, when the Spirit, the holiness of God entered my being, suddenly I realize that's murder. So not everybody comes to that revelation.
That's true. That's true. But there are still hundreds, thousands that have come to it, and they don't know what to do with it. They don't, and you know, even if they haven't at this point, they're at some point they do, and then what do they do with that? What do they do with that sense of that hole in their heart? And what do they do with the feeling of, you know, back, you talk about Woodstock, back in the day, going to a doctor, having an abortion, walking out of it, blah, you're done. And never thought about it until the movement came along, and then all of a sudden you have these signs in your face that are saying you're a murderer.
Now, at what age did you have your abortion?
I was in my early 20s.
In your early 20s. Did you suffer guilt immediately, or did it take, it wasn't until years later?
Oh, years later, and I just stuffed it away. You know, I'm a baby boomer, so I liken what I probably went through to several women, and I've talked to several women who have, that happened in their you know, 20s, and now they're at my age, in the baby boomer age, and they're going, oh my gosh, that's why those things are triggering me, or that's why this is happening, or I'm tired of living behind this veil of shame that I've lived behind for all these years. How do I get past that?
Yeah, is it hard to believe you can really be forgiven for murdering a child, you know, essentially?
Yes, it is hard, but it is possible. I mean, forgiveness is just given. It's just given. If you ask for it, you truly desire it, God has already given it to you. It's just a matter of turning your face towards His and saying, I don't even know how to say I'm sorry, but I am, and please forgive me for this. And that's the only forgiveness that matters.
Were you reared as a Catholic or a Christian, or did you come to believe in Jesus later in life? What's your story?
So I was raised as a Catholic, and went to Catholic school, went to Catholic Mass every day, and we listened to the Bible. We didn't read the Bible. My mom was a very devout Catholic, and yet she was also a very loving mom who stood behind me, with me through all of this. So here's another caveat in my story is when I was 16, I gave a child up for adoption.
When you were 16, a baby?
Pardon me?
You had a baby at 16, and that was before the abortion.
Yes. And so I gave her up for adoption, and then kind of drifted away from any kind of church or connection to God at all for probably 10 years. And then I started drifting back, and he all along the way was putting the sign out there, putting the carpet out there to say, come back, come back, come back, in so many ways. And I finally did.
You know, we're in such a fallen state that really, life as we know it, if we believe what the Bible says, is the skeletal remains of what once was paradise. And we think about all the sinful nature of man. I mean, whatever it may be, there's just, without forgiveness, what do we have? When you really define sin, we've all fallen into a state of sin, haven't we? Hello?
I'm sorry, did you ask? Yes. Did you ask me a question? I'm sorry.
Are you distracted, or are you, what are you doing there? Are you driving, or?
Oh, no, I was, doing? No, I'm not driving at all. I was listening to you, and I didn't hear the question come out.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your reflection on, you know, I'm just trying to think of a lot of things. You know, as a male, you know, I was thinking about that the other day. I don't know if I was in church or whatever, and I thought, wow. You know, I mean, it must be a marvel to carry a child in your own body. And you know,
mm-hmm.
we're hearing a lot of background noise. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I'm perfectly still in my car.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's something else. But anyway, so who decided that this would be made into a major motion picture?
So I went to a retreat called The Well, and Jason Campbell from JC Films was there. And I talked to one of his associates, and I was kind of like, that would be kind of cool, but wouldn't thinking that my book would be a movie. I just thought, wow, that'd be interesting to see that. And Jason and I sat down during that time, during that retreat, and we talked about it. And I said to him, I said, my book is not meant to be a pro-life, pro-choice book. My book is clearly, and my message is clearly for women who have had abortions to understand that there is forgiveness, grace, and redemption.
Sure.
So that caught his attention because he has never done a movie on abortion and never wanted to do one. He wanted to hear more about my heart and how that's how I felt. And every time there's kind of a nudge to go one direction, God brings me back to that and said, Kay, I've given you a calling, and that calling is to deliver a message of forgiveness, grace, and redemption. I'm calling my people home for this. And so anyway, we had a long conversation. He said, let's go for it. Let's try it. Let's do this. And so it started on a roll from there. And I tell you what, Brett, after going through that experience of being on a set and watching that, wow, it was incredible. Incredible. Well, healing and everything else.
Well, I've always wondered about the industry as a whole. Where do you get funding for such a motion picture? How much funding went into this motion picture, and where did they get the funding to do this?
So that's interesting. From my perspective, I only can give you my perspective. I don't know what Jason has put into it or JC Films has put into it. My perspective was an investment of $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so from that point, I don't know.
Yourself.
I don't know.
Okay, so you put in $20,000 yourself, which is not a lot of money when it comes to making a film. Do you know what the total budget was?
No, I do not.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
Hi, this is Kim from sunny South Florida. And I'd like to share with you some exciting things that God is doing in the world of arts and entertainment. Join me now for A Heart for Hollywood. Most people think that the life in Hollywood is all about parties and glitz and glamour, fame and fortune. And although this is a large part of that scene, most of what makes up Hollywood goes on behind the scenes. Most of the people working in Hollywood aren't struggling with how to deal with their fame and fortune. Most professionals in Hollywood are people struggling with how to make ends meet, how to pay the bills, and how to care for their families in an industry that is riddled with rejection and depression. These are the people who are marking our culture, who are influencing us on a daily basis. They are actually gifted people wrestling with constant rejection. It's an innate part of their business. You might be familiar with the term struggling artist. That term is very accurate. Most artists are struggling in many ways to use their God-given abilities to earn a living. Their amazing abilities bring so much joy to the world because, just like God, they are creatives. If you are part of a show that lasts for many years and you get to work from 9 to 5, you get to spend time with your family. As for actors, there's more rejection. It's very personal. Your hair is too short. Your eyes are too close together. There's a gap between your teeth. We needed someone with brown eyes. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't cover those freckles every day. Recently, Discovery purchased HBO Max. As soon as they purchased it, they decided to do away with the HBO Max reality TV division. They laid off 70 employees immediately. Those people are now looking for work. Where do you find a steady job like a reality show based in Hollywood? I ask you to pray for these people. Pray for the people that are on the ground behind the scenes, working the smaller jobs, just needing steady work to pay the bills. My father was one of these people. He's what they called a character actor. And our family's income fluctuated all the time. You may not know his name, but you would definitely know his face. He was on hundreds of TV shows and commercials. These are the people of Hollywood. We're lifting them up today. All week, I ran into Philippians 4:6, and I feel God is calling us to pray this scripture for Hollywood, to pray for those in Hollywood not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, to present their requests to God. And let that peace of God that transcends understanding, let it guard the hearts and minds of those in Hollywood in Christ Jesus. Thank you for joining me today, and thank you for continuing to pray for this most influential mission field. Please continue to pray for Hollywood and for the creative artists that God is using to change our culture.
Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding Jesus, Savior, pilot me
as a mother steals her child. Thou canst hush the ocean wild, boisterous thy will when thou
6,000 sweetly kisses, a precious newborn son. The day is finally ended, the labor of love is done. There's darkness in the manger, the shadows dance and fight, but Mary holds the light in her arms tonight. The sky is filled with wonder above the shepherds and their sheep. A host of angels singing awakens them from sleep. They'll travel any distance to view the blessed sight, where Mary holds the light in her arms tonight. It's a cold, dark world outside the stable. She wishes she could shelter him from harm. Doesn't try to understand. She knows that she's not able. She only knows salvation is sleeping in her
time. Oh my,
she used to say the grace,
now her tears are flowing. Godfrey Electric Incorporated is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving Martin, St. Lucie, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric Incorporated specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric Incorporated is an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry and is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or by phone at 561-833-3753.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God.
lying in a manger, staring at the strangers who've come so many miles. They were told to follow a star up in the heavens, and it brought them to the stable of the little baby child. Could this be the kingdom of the high and mighty? Is this the ruler born here tonight? Should we lay our treasure, here by the cradle? Tell me, are you the Savior, pretty little baby child? Sometimes the greatest of miracles comes from the smallest of things. They knew as they knelt there beside him, they were looking in the eyes of a king. And that his tiny little fingers would bring us together,
all together
forever and ever, pretty little baby child. Wonder of wonders, there in the darkness, the light of the promise, how it shines in his eyes. The angels are singing the hallelujah chorus, the Savior before us, pretty little baby child. Sometimes the greatest of miracles comes from the smallest of things. They knew as they knelt there beside him, they were looking in the eyes of a king. And that his tiny little fingers would bring us together,
all together
forever and ever, pretty little baby child.
All together
forever and ever, pretty little baby child.
Shelter from killing winter cold. Pursuing us. Not we trying to pursue God, can't find him. And if you are frantically trying to get God to do this or that for you, my advice for you is chill out and realize that God is saying to every one of us, be still and know that I am God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
At 9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
Welcome to Constitutional Conversations. I'm Dr. Brenda McMenamin. Why is it so important to understand the Constitution? Understanding the heritage and history that God gave us enables us to honor and obey Him so He can rescue us and America. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 says in part, "The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to provide for the general welfare of the United States. To be able to use this power to provide for the general welfare, Congress had to pass a bill that passed the House, representing a majority of the Americans, and pass a bill through the Senate, thereby providing proof that the majority of the states gave assent to spend our tax money for the proposed bill. Being that congressmen were only in office for 2 years, it was expected that those expenses would be paid off in those 2 years, or we, the people, would never consider voting them back into office. That would be irresponsible of us." Thomas Jefferson explained that this clause was not a grant of power to spend for the general welfare of the people, but was intended to limit the power of taxation to the matters which provided for the welfare of the Union or the welfare of the whole nation. In other words, federal taxes could not be levied for states, counties, cities, or special interest groups. It was in the Butler case in 1936 and another in 1947 when the Supreme Court of the United States changed the original intent of this clause. However, even as early as when Davy Crockett was serving as congressman, our representatives were tempted to spend our monies more freely than they would have their own. There had been a fire that had destroyed homes. Congress voted to send them $20,000, and Crockett had voted for this. When he went home, one of his constituents rebuked him soundly, so Crockett proposed to his colleagues to give their own money. No one, not one, joined him in this proposal to offer a week of their own salary. God help us return to first principles for the purpose for government, as opposed to our responsibilities as individuals in our communities. Give us a heart to help the orphans, widows, homeless, and poor from the church, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. to WCNO as we learn more about our Constitution and how this God-inspired document brings life and liberty to our nation and hope to the world. More information and learning opportunities are available at my website, teachinghisstory.com.
Like a drama unfold, the curtain was open, while an audience of angels was holding its breath. A census, a manger, two travel-worn strangers, the stage was finally set. Angels folded their wings at the throne, worshiping as God whispered, "I love you, my son." And Jesus took off his crown and laying it down, said, "Father, thy will be done." The time had now come for God's only Son to be born as a light in a dark, lonely place. So he stepped from heaven's hall to Bethlehem's stall, where a star with gladness. sadness and tears. Play the trumpet, the horns, and the strings. Tell the shepherds and wise men and all who will hear. Command all of the angels to sing. Fill the sky with your voices and sing.
Angels have such a strange way to say the word. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way.
Alzheimer's or dementia are terrible diseases affecting 7 million. Memory issues can be driven by the large number of medications that seniors take. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a proprietary tool that identifies drug-to-drug interactions that cause cognitive impairment and then prescribes alternatives. In the study of the Alzheimer's Treatment Center's protocol, 75% of the patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Now open in Port St. Lucie, they may be reached at ATCA.AI or 772-298-4477.